Now, if you people, all of you, had the intestinal fortitude to go into a supermarket and eat only the things that God has made for you and that has not been touched by man to make a profit, then you'd all have perfect health. And you don't need all this hocus-pocus about a million other things, what I should do and when I should do it and this, that, and the other. God didn't intend that you people had to have a Phi Beta Kappa degree or a degree from some university or a college degree of any kind or even a high school degree to have perfect health. But as soon as man comes around with his commercialism and even with his Christianity, he brings with him the things for death. In other words, refined, processed, devitalized, demineralized, demoralized foods. Processed, patented, counterfeit foods is the cause of all disease. And if you'll ever stop and realize that there is a tremendous conspiracy between the chemical industry, the drug houses, the AMA, and the food processors, a conspiracy that is bound by worse than any contract. They don't need a contract. Their contract is that by demoralizing us with their deficient foods and getting the food and drug as their equipping agent to get the job done, they have caused us to be the unhealthiest nation on the face of the earth. Now cut out anything that's in a package. I don't care what it says, it's 100% whole wheat, sweetened with honey, and so forth. Don't eat it because man has done something with it to make it nice and soft and flexible so you'll like to eat it. Don't eat anything that is in a package or can or put up. And they say this is 100% rice. Uncle somebody's rice, only takes so many minutes to cook it, then it's been tampered with. Man has tampered with. Why? Because it won't spoil and the rats won't get in and the mice won't eat it and so forth. You must not eat anything unless it will mold or mildew or rot or develop a bad odor or ferment or the mice will get in it or the moths will lay their eggs in it. Those are the things that you should eat. And when you are willing to do that and not eat anything, and for God's sake, stop eating this bread. I don't care what it says on the label. Don't eat it unless you take it home. Two loaves. Take one home and see if it's good to eat. It will probably be wonderful. But put the other loaf up in an oven where it's warm, and this kind of weather, it should, well, on your peninsula out here, it'll take it about 4 or 5 days to mold, maybe 6 days. Inland, it'll take it only 3 or 4 days to mold. But unless it will mold and stay moldy and get moldier and moldier, and in 7 weeks, unless it'll go back to green dust, it's not fit for human consumption. What goes in the mouth is what determines everything. So that determines the kind of the blood. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, if anything happens to any part of your body, whether it is the brain, the nerve, the sinews, the lungs, the bones, the tissue, if anything goes wrong anywhere in the body, it is only because the material you put in that bloodstream was not what nature intended to be. Therefore, you and you alone are responsible for every ache and pain that you have. You determine what goes in there. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, why spend billions of dollars every year on diagnosis? What difference does it make what disease you have? Whether it's hypoglycemia, whether it's blood poisoning, whether it is heart trouble, cancer, what difference does it make? There's only one answer to it, only one cure for it. And that is put the right material in the body so that the body can correct it. One of the easiest things in the world is to get people back to Christ through the health method. When they have been sick and sick unto death almost, and finally by going back to natural things, they get their health back, it's very easy for them to become believers again. And we have an awful tendency of the young people today to become disbelievers because they don't believe what the Bible says about Methuselah living to 900 years, another fellow at 700 and 600. He says it's ridiculous to think of that, believe that sort of stuff. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you one thing. Alexis Carroll, who wrote the book Man the Unknown and won the Nobel Prize from it. Alexis Carroll said this, that when he took the heart of a chicken out and put it in a solution that gives the perfect food that the blood of the mother chicken has, and changes it every day, in other words, every day take away all the waste products and put in perfect new material. Now that's a complete elimination, perfect material and perfect elimination every day. Theoretically, you live on forever. And he kept the heart of the chicken out for 27 years, which is about five times the life of a chicken. And he would have been gone to this day if they hadn't stopped it. Up until 1920, if you went to a hospital to be operated on by anywhere in the torso, you were put in charge of a nurse. And this nurse was supposed to clean out your colon before you went to bed. And if you went onto that hospital, that operating table the next day with anything in that colon, the nurse in charge was caught in and raked over the coals and kicked out of the hospital. Now that's how important the colon used to be. But in 1923, some doctor with 17 different degrees comes out and writes a book. And he says in that book, we do not absorb any poisons from the colon. Therefore, you don't need to pay any attention to it. So from that time on, one doctor after another that was doing everything properly gradually let go, and the hospitals let go, and today they put them through the hospitals, and practically all big hospitals have to have a morgue at the other end, because if they don't clean out your colon, they have to put you in the morgue. And the colon now has become the most important thing. I have for 40 years been hollering this thing from the pulpit of every state in the union. And only in the last 5 years have they started to do anything about it. Now that's what we mean by getting a colon out. You don't do that with just taking a laxative. Laxatives produce this sort of a colon. This stuff can be in there maybe 30 or 40 years. And when it gets out, you can get well. But you can't get well until you do get it out. When this thing prolapses here, it creates a backage, and that backs up and gets harder and harder, and more stays in there all the time, until when it gets incrustated, then it's got to be gotten out of there by something better than just an ordinary colonic. And if you're going to do it yourself, and you could try it yourself, and if you fail, then get someone else. It's cheaper if you try it yourself first. Make yourself about a gallon of hot coffee, black coffee. Use the plain old coffee that you grind up. Boil the devil out of it and then strain it out. Let it cool down to your temperature and use that for the colonic. Now, when you use it, be very careful to do this. Lay down on the bathroom floor. You put all the pillows you want to on the upper part of the torso, but have the lower part open. Then start in down here and let the tube go in there, and let a half a cup of water. The fallacy of everybody is they let too much water in. When you let too much of the coffee or anything in and it hits one of those valves, then it wants to come out and you have to rush and let it go out. Then that's no good. You have to start all over again. That's why I want you to start with a gallon, even though you can only hold 2 quarts. But you'll have it there when you let some of it go to start over again. So you let it just a little bit in there, lay on your left side, then stop it. Then get back on your left side again, let some more in, about a half a cup. Then get up and massage it again. And keep this up and massage it twice or three times as long. It only takes a second to put it in there. But you want to massage for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes on each spot, each 2 inches. It takes you an hour to an hour and a half to do the job. It's hard work, but it's worth it, and your life depends upon it. All right, now then, when you get up there a little higher, keep on going up until you get all the way up here. And when you get up in here, or right in here, or over there, you're getting in trouble. Many times you get in trouble across here. That a lady came with, she was sent home to the hospital with cancer of the pancreas. And they said they sent her home on Christmas Day. This last Christmas. And they said she only had from 2 to 4 days to live, 5 at the most. So they sent her home. We got her after she'd been home 2 days. And we told her husband that she had to get that colon cleaned out. Now, we tried to get somebody to help him, and we did. We hired one, and she didn't do too good a job, and they hired another one, and so forth. And they finally said they got it all the way around. And they did do a pretty good job. They got a lot of it because she picked up. when she went home, she had her head was absolutely bald as a billiard board. And in about 2 or 3 weeks, she began to grow hair, and she began to get around, and then she had a relapse. I was away at the time. When I got back, the husband called me, and she says, "We don't know what to do. They've had a relapse." Well, I said, "You never got it all out in the first place. If you got that colon cleaned out, you wouldn't have this relapse." Well, they did the best they could. They said to go. I said, "That isn't good enough. You get your fingernails and get a file and file them down to the bone. And you get in there and do that massaging. And you take an hour to an hour and a half and take inch by inch until you get up there and get the job done." Well, he did for work for a while, and he says, "I'm not getting anywhere either." Suddenly occurred to me, "Listen," I said, "maybe this thing has dropped way down here. Maybe they didn't get it over there at all. It's all gone down here." In other words, like this one here. Look at this one. It's dropped down. That one's dropped down. This one here is dropped way down. Feel around there until you can find where the hard spot is. And he found it way down about here. Now I said, "Massage that thing. Get in there and dig it out with your fingers so it doesn't hurt her. But keep at it." Well, he called up in a couple of days and he says, "Well, how did she ever swallow a pencil?" He said, "There's something in there about 6 inches long, and while it'll bend very nicely, it's just the shape of a pencil." Well, I says, "It isn't a pencil. It's hardened mucus. If you found that, there's more there. Go at it harder." Well, he went out a couple of days, and he said he couldn't do it because she makes him too much of a fuss. Well, then I said, "It's going to cost you $14. Go downtown and buy $14 worth of olive oil. Sometimes you can get a little cheaper, but get a whole gallon of the best imported olive oil you can get. And use the olive oil instead of the water or the coffee. Use no water at all, just put the olive oil in there. And do it very slowly. And if you've already got it cleaned up, you can go a little faster until you get up to this point. But if that's fallen down, then get in there and go around the whole thing." A day later, he said, "I've got a big chunk in there, the piece of leather, a piece of rubber like a tube." And she says, "It's about 6 inches long and a half an inch wide." Well, I said, "That's probably the incrustation on one side of the colon. Now, there's a whole lot more in there than that. So you've got to get after." So he kept it up, and he had 4 or 5 days, and he had a lot of stuff out. He said, "If it saved it all, I'd have had a bucket full." But he said, "She still has pain, and she still is not recuperating." Well, I said, "Then there's just one last resort. And that is, buy castor oil." Now get this clearly. Castor oil isn't to be fooled with. You put castor oil on a piece of flannel, have about 4 thicknesses of flannel, and make it so that it covers the area from here, from the navel down here, and across over to this side, about 10 inches wide. In other words, from here down to there and over to the side. 10 inches, 4 or 5 thicknesses, soaked as much as you can get the olive oil in it. I don't mean the olive oil, I mean the castor oil. And just to squeeze a little bit out so that it doesn't drip. Then take some saran wrap or any kind of a thing you want to keep the oil off of everything else. And put over the top of that. And then put a light piece of cloth over that. And have it go all the way around, tie it all the way around. Then put her to bed with a hot pad and put it on high until it just burns. But put it in there only for 1 hour on top of that whole thing. Now what will that do? That castor oil will permeate in there and loosen up any of those hard deposits. Then take it out, only 1 hour, and do that for 3 nights in succession. You don't need to change the pad, just put a little more oil to it each time. But be sure that you have a pad hot as it'll go, and she won't like it, but she can stand it because you put enough stuff there to protect her. After 3 nights, you don't do anything for a week. Then to start over again on the other side and do the same thing on the other side. Now in her case, I started her on the right-hand side because I knew this side over here was where the trouble is. And I started her over here because this side had already been cleared. So she went over here. And after 3 nights, Nothing seemed to happen for about 2 days, and then she was given the coffee enema again, and all of a sudden, everything broke loose. It all came out. Now, what's happened since then? Her hair's all back, got more hair than most of you, and she's getting along fine. Now, just to give you an illustration of how serious this is and how people will let their bodies go. Over in Chicago, I had a man who was one of my distributors. He owned a health store. He did a wonderful job over there in sales, one of the best in the whole country with our sales. He made people get that colon clean. He sold them the material to do the colon. He said, unless you're going to do it and do it the way I tell you to do it, don't do it at all. I don't want to sell you the stuff unless you're going to take it and do the thing as I tell you to do it. Well, he went along and he did for 20 years. He had a marvelous, did a wonderful job with all the people. And one day his sister visited him from Florida, and she called me up and she says, my brother is sick. And he doesn't know it. And the whole thing is that he's sick of the same thing he was when you first met him. When I first met him, he was a young man, but he had cancer of the colon. And we cleaned it all up and got rid of it for 20 years. But she said, for the last 3 years, he's been going down, down, down. And she says, I know it's his colon. Will you see him and see if you can do something with him? Well, next convention I went to, I had a long talk with him. And he has a friend that always goes down out with him who's a chiropractor. And this chiropractor took me to one side and he says he will not clean his colon. And yet he makes everybody else do it. But he won't do it himself. And he says that's what's killing him. So then I got a hold of him. I talked to him like a Dutch uncle. He says, my colon is wonderful. I eat properly. I have been clean, blah, 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 blah. Now he hadn't touched his colon in 20 years. And he expected it to be as good as it was then. Well, anyway, he got so bad that he went to the hospital, and they said that the colon had eaten a hole, the cancer had eaten a hole through the colon, and that the fecal matter was going into the bladder. Well, of course, that stopped it right up, and he died in very short order. Just because they don't want to do anything with their own colon. It's a phobia with people. And a lot of you people will have it, and it'll be the death of you because you don't want to touch that colon. I thank heaven that we've got these fellows around here, these doctors are going to do something about it. Medical doctors now are coming to the conclusion that they can't get results if they don't clean up the colon.